O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
All right, wonderful. I think I can say amen to that, can't you? And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. Well, it didn't have a choice because its creator spoke to it. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? And notice verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, and here's the message, right here it is. What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They asked a question among themselves. What manner of man is this? And that's what I want to speak on this morning. Because, you know, I'm afraid that we don't know the Lord like we ought to know. I think a lot that most of us, we know about the Lord. We just don't know the Lord. We know about what he has done and know very little about what he is doing. And they said, what manner of man is this? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, and I want to speak to you along that line this morning. Father, meet with us. We thank you for the privilege of being able to be in church. And we ask, Lord, that you do your work as you promised that you would this morning. And we'll give all the glory for the results of this day. Open our spirit today, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Our story scene today takes place pretty early in the ministry of Jesus Christ and the calling out of the disciples. These men had given up their livelihood. They had given up their passion. They had given up their employment to follow Jesus and to learn from Him in order that they might be a voice for the message that Jesus preached. And Jesus came, listen now, Jesus came preaching repentance is what He came preaching. And He spent a ministry educating 12 men and preparing them that they likewise might go out and preach repentance and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they were very early in the ministry of the Lord. Well, these men had witnessed Jesus do a few miracles, but for the most part, at this stage in ministry, they had just been kind of in a classroom setting. Do you understand what I'm saying? He had spoken to them, but he kind of just been in a classroom setting and just kind of been given some information, just kind of been whetting their appetite about who He was and what He was here to do and what the end result was going to be for His ministry. So they'd been in a classroom. They'd really not had really any hands-on experience as far as the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Jesus awoke and spoke to the winds and spoke to the sea and the waters and they obeyed Him, His disciples were taken back. Even nature was under His control. Even nature obeyed Him. And so they were taken back a little bit by what had just happened. Now listen very carefully. This was a defining moment in their discipleship. Let me ask you this. Has God ever pointed out to you a defining moment that changed your life? Have you ever had that experience in life where you can look back and say, that's where I made the turn right there? This is the defining moment in my life where God got me on the right track to serve Him. Have you had that experience? Can you look back and put your finger on a time and say, that is when everything changed? You see, this was a defining moment in their discipleship. This was a determining moment in their faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Now, they thought they knew who He was. They had seen Him do a few miracles, but they had never seen anything like this. They had never seen anything in their entire lifetime. Listen, they were finally coming to grips. This is God incarnate. You see, this was a descriptive moment of where they were in their life of faith. And matter of fact, many times when God moves in your life, it'll be a descriptive moment about where you are in your faith as well. You say, like what, preacher? Like when adversity comes in your life, where are you in your faith? You see, these people were in a situation, they were in a predicament. Waters, the ship is taking on water, and they look around, and the Lord is asleep. You see, I can look at some of you this morning, you think the Lord's asleep in your life. Amen? You don't think God's listening to you. You think He's asleep somewhere back in the boat, and He doesn't know what's going on in your life. Can I tell you this morning, He has never, ever not known what's going on in your life. He understands your difficulties and your adversity. You see, this was a defining moment in the discipleship of these men. Remember, these men had left all to follow Jesus, but were not completely secure in their faith about His authority, His control, and His power over heaven and earth. And then He does this, and they say, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey His voice? Who is this? We thought we knew. And yet the Scripture says in John 14:9, Jesus said that He had, if you've seen Me, you have seen the Father. John chapter 1, many of you will recognize if you're familiar with your Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. But listen, it goes on. It says, all things were made by Him, And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. So when he spoke to the winds and spoke to the waters and they ceased and calmed, they looked at each other and said, listen, this isn't like that water turned to wine. This isn't anything like that. I mean, even the winds and the waves obey. What manner of man is this that we're in the presence of? What they were literally saying, listen to me this morning. They were saying, what sort of man is this? What kind of man is this? Because we've never seen anything done like this ever before in our lifetime. You see, they had never seen a man speak to the wind and the waters and they obey him. They had never experienced this. Listen, this was a big deal. Let me ask you something. When God does something in your life, is it a big deal to you? Or do you just kind of think, well, that was a really nice trick. How'd you do that? No, you know what? They were so taken back by it. They said, what manner of man is this? They said, listen, he spoke to the winds. They stopped. He spoke to the sea. What manner of man is this that we're in the presence of? You see, they were so taken back. It was a defining moment in their life. This was a stroke of divine power that had left them in awe. Are you in awe at what God does? Listen, I love going out into nature. I love going to the woods and I love going to the mountains. I love going to the sea. I'm just in awe about creation. I'm just in awe about what God has done. And I don't know about you, but I like to get out and enjoy it. I love to get out in it and enjoy it. I'm just in awe. But let me tell you something. I'm not saying this morning that God has ever calmed the winds or shut down the waters and in my life. But what I'm saying to you, there's some things that he's done in my life that have absolutely left me in awe. And I've said to myself, what manner of God is this? What manner of God is this? Hey, they had witnessed a few miracles dealing with people, but up to this point, nothing of this magnitude. Can I ask you another question? Have you seen the Lord do some small things in your life that you've just kind of taken for granted? Have you seen God do some things that you've just said, oh, you know, just explain them away. Oh, it's just chance, just coincidence. Folks, there is no such thing as coincidence. Everything passes in front of the throne of God. He knows everything that is taking place in your life. Listen, if he knows the number of hairs of on your head and he knows that if a sparrow falls from the sky to the ground, if he knows all of that, he knows what's going on in your life and in my life. Are you still asking the same question as these disciples are? What manner of man is this? Can I say, first of all, this morning, it's not easy to figure out what manner of man we are. Right? You see, it's pretty easy. We can figure out who we are. Because I'm going to tell you right now that today man has a sin nature due to the depravity of his flesh. It's not hard to figure that one out, right? Not hard to find Waldo in that picture, is it? You see, what I'm saying to you is we figure out who we are. We can see what manner of man we are. The Scripture says in Romans chapter 7, verse number 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Listen to this now. Sold under sin. I can say amen to that. You don't have to fight this old flesh like I do. Of course you do. Matter of fact, some of you this morning, you crucified that flesh before you went to bed last night and you woke up this morning and somewhere during the night somebody gave that body and gave that flesh mouth to mouth. And it's alive again this morning. And you know what it said? You don't got to go to church today. No, man. Don't you know? Then you look at the moon face, fish are biting. Hey, I'm telling you that this morning, some of you, it was a struggle. Don't raise your hand, but you listen to me. Some of you, it was a struggle for you to get up and be in church this morning. And I'll say, amen. It was. Why? Because it's not hard to figure out that our sin nature is due to the depravity of the flesh. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, it'd be hard to tell some people I've met in life that they think they are, but I'm here to tell you they're not. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, so what I'm saying is, it's not hard to figure out what manner of man we are. You ever kick yourself sometimes when you do wrong? Huh? You see, I get frustrated with myself sometimes. You know why? Because I know what manner of man I am. I know to do good, and because I don't do it, the Scripture says to me it's sin. It's not that I don't know what's right, it's just that I have a struggle that seems to be able to put to practice what I know to be right. So it's not hard to figure out what manner of man that we are. We're sinners because of the depravity of flesh. May I say next, that it's not hard to figure out that not only do we have a sin nature, but next, man has a resisting spirit due to the influence of Satan. We have a resisting spirit. Acts chapter 7, verse 51, in Stephen's sermon, he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." Listen, he says, "You do always," not some, "always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." We have a resisting spirit. Listen, this morning as I'm preaching, there's a voice that's superseding my voice, and he's speaking to somebody in here about your eternal soul, about salvation, about heaven. And listen, some of you are going to resist this morning. It's kind of like this Snicker bar somebody gave me this morning. Now that's a king-size Snicker bar right there. Lester, sin. I don't have time to explain it, but I like Snicker bars, and this is the gospel, folks, okay? But you know, he gave me that, and I said, "Lester, what are you doing giving me that right before preaching?" I said, "That's temptation." I said, "That's sin. That's trying to draw me away." And it's sitting here when I'm preaching, and it's saying, "Eat me." But then I look over there, and I said, "Nuh-uh, not with 85 carbs, I'm not." So Lester says, "Well, preacher, you know, I can help you with that if you want me to." You see, man has a resisting spirit, and I had to resist that Snicker bar. And yet God wants to do something in your life this morning, and it's not hard to figure out that some this morning will resist salvation. They will resist the Christian life. They will resist coming this morning at invitation and putting their faith in Christ. Some will resist change because we kind of get in our comfort zone. Amen, preacher. Come on, I'm just going to go and step on out here just a little bit and kind of wade out into some water. Listen, some of us don't want to change because we're comfortable about our lifestyle. And yet, if you're a Christian this morning, the Holy Spirit's talking to you and said, "This is not a comfort zone. We need to get out of this. We need to break loose of this. We need to go forward for Jesus Christ." Hey, it's not hard to figure out that we have a sin nature due to the depravity of the flesh, but we have a resisting spirit due to the influence of Satan. Some are resisting salvation. Some are going to resist change. Some are going to resist conviction this morning. Can I go ahead and set the record straight? It's not wrong to be convicted. Listen, when I stop feeling conviction, I need to be concerned. If I stop hearing the voice of God, if I stop feeling in my spirit when I do wrong as a believer, if I'm not convicted of it, I need to be concerned. Some are going to resist conviction this morning. Some of you came to church, listen to me. Some of you are here this morning because you know you need change. You know your lifestyle, your life is derailed. You're here this morning hoping that God will do something to change your life. Well, can I ask you this? Then why leave disappointed? Why leave and not come and get what you came here for? If you came this morning to get something for God, come get it. We resist conviction. Listen, we resist forgiveness of others even though that we've been forgiven a great debt. You see, some of you here this morning may have unforgiveness in your heart and spirit toward a brother or sister in Christ, or maybe toward a family member that is not even here today. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and saying, "Listen, we need to get this right. We need to make this right." And you're being resistant. Hey, it's not hard to figure out that man, it has a sin nature due to depravity, has a resisting spirit due to the influence of Satan. There might be somebody here this morning resisting the call of God for service. You know, I don't believe, folks, that we'd come to church and God's not calling somebody. I don't believe that. I believe every time we show up at church, God's calling somebody to do something. But we're resistant to it. And we know that. See, it's not hard to figure out who we, what manner of man we are. We're sinners by nature. We're resistant because of the influence of Satan. But let me give you another one real quick. Man has a running attitude due to the fear of accountability. Amen. Instead of, listen folks, human nature is to run, not confront. And you can run wherever you want to go. The problem is not your surroundings. The problem is what's in you. So everywhere you run, all you're going to do is be a carrier of the virus. And you're going to infect somebody else. What I'm saying to you this morning is it's easy to figure out who we are because we have a running attitude due to the fear of accountability. This is the kind of attitude Jonah had. Jonah had this attitude. God called him. He ran. He says, no, I'm not going. He got on a ship heading to Tarsus. God said, you can't run from me. He said, you think you can run from me? Where are you going to go? According to Psalm 139, it said, you can go to the highest mountaintop. I'm there. You can go to the depths of the sea. I'm there. He said, you can't run from me. He said, overboard. And overboard he went. And guess what? Down deep in the sea, there was a whale that heard a dinner bell. And his stomach began to grumble. He thought, boy, I wish I had me some fresh meat. God said, I just happen to have some prepared for you right here. It's called Baptist Preacher. And overboard he went. You know how long that lesson took him? 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. That's how long it took him. You see, it wasn't long that while Jonah was in the belly of that whale, he kind of figured out what kind of manner of man he was, right? He was totally depraved. He had a running attitude. You see, what he figured that out, and he said, oh, Lord, please, get me out of this belly, this whale's belly, and I'll go do what you want me to do. God says, okay, fine. So whale vomited him up and went to Nineveh. Greatest revival recorded in the Bible took place. And by the way, listen, he didn't even want it to be a revival. You know what that tells me? God used just about anybody. Yeah, God's calling somebody here this morning. He's calling somebody to service this morning. Can I ask you, could our biggest problem be that we're just not familiar enough with God at this point in our life to follow Him, to trust Him, to worship Him like we should? See, we know what manner of man we are. But that wasn't the question. The question was, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? We know what manner of man we are. But what manner of man is this, is what they asked. Well, let me show you a few things about the Lord this morning. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Acts 10, verse 38. Now, this is the Apostle Peter speaking here, but I want to skip down to verse number 38. It says, Peter says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with what? Power. Did he have power over the winds? Did he have power over the waves? Yes, he did. Why? Because he was God. Remember? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same as in the beginning with God. He said that he anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Listen, here it is. Underline it. Who went about doing... Help me out. Who went about doing good. There it is. What manner of man is this? This man did good. He did things that were beneficial. He did things that had value to them. And yet here we are, and we're commanded to follow in his steps. And this man, what manner of man is it? He goes about doing good. Listen, he spoke good words to people. He spoke life words to people, not death words to people. You ever wonder the number of words that come out of our mouth, if you had to grade them as far as negative and positive, how many would come out that would be negative and how many would come out that would be positive? You'd be amazed at the end of the day that the scale would be way swung toward negative. I'm just going to throw this out there. Do you know, everybody's got some positive aspects about them. You say, I know somebody ain't got no good, no positive aspects about them. Well, you know, I sure am glad the Lord didn't think that about us. Because you know what he said? He'd have said, you know what? Rip off this cross I come. You are not worth it. So obviously he saw that there was some value. There was something in you and I of value. And he died for you and I. Listen, he went about speaking good words. Can I tell you something else he did? He went about doing good deeds. Anybody here got a need that you need the Lord to exemplify goodness toward? Some of you in this room have health issues. You want the good hand of God to touch you? Hey, listen, you may tell you what manner of man is this? He's a good God. We talked about that last week. You see, he went about doing good. He spoke good words. He did good deeds. He practiced good character. He walked the good walk. You see, Jesus displayed love. He displayed compassion. He displayed mercy. He displayed grace. He displayed humility, submission, kindness, forgiveness, commitment, listen, and dedication. You say, when was he dedicated? He was dedicated to the Father. Remember the day he walked into the temple, in the court of the temple, and there were people there called money changers? And they were selling sacrifice. They were making profit off the people. You know, when Jesus went in there, he looked around. He thought, boy, alive, what's going on in here? He said, my Father's house is to be a house of prayer. He said, you guys have made it a den of thieves. You know what he did? He said, you know what, this ain't right. So he went over there and said, could you go ahead and take your stuff and slip out? Could you go ahead and bag your doves up and kind of move on out of here? Yeah, this isn't right. Y'all stop this. Now, folks, you know what the Bible said he did? He took a scourge and wrapped it around his hand. He began to overturn the tables, and he ran them out. Now, listen. This is what we've got. If we're not careful, we get into this peace mode. And listen, I'm all for the goodness of God. I'm all for preaching the love of God. But let me tell you something. The Lord was dedicated. You see, he went about doing good. You said, was that a good thing for him to run those money changers out of the temple? Absolutely. Absolutely it was. So what manner of man is this? Can I say to you, he went about doing good. Turn to John chapter 7. Go to John 7. Let me show you another one. John chapter 7 and verse 46. John 7 and verse 46. Now while you're turning there, things were really starting to get heated up in the ministry of Jesus. The Pharisees were really pressing to have him arrested. And the word had gone out to the officers to go and, listen, at a convenient time, arrest him. Look, if you would, John chapter 7, verse 46. Well, go to verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? Listen to their response. And the officers answered, never man spake like this man. They said, this ain't no ordinary guy, fellas. We heard him speak. We saw him do some things. If you want him, you go get him. That's basically what they said. You want him? You go get him. Because never a man spake like this man. Nobody have we ever heard speak like this man. Well, you can go read what Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. We don't have time to go. We'd be here all afternoon reading it and talking about it. Let me tell you something. He hit some very hard subjects that you and I need to go back and observe and look at. One of the things that he hit was this, and he made a statement, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He said, what's of value to you? That's where your heart will be. Remember the adulterous woman in John chapter 8 that the Pharisees wanted to stone? He said, he that is without sin cast the first stone. They dropped their stones and walked off. She looked at him. He said, where are thine accusers? She said, I don't know, Lord. He said, well, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Stop. No man ever spake like this man. Because you know what most of us would have done of a woman caught in the act of adultery and done, listen, we wouldn't have listened. We'd have gone ahead and done it anyway and may have done it before we ever found Jesus. We'd have taken the law into our own hands. You see, no man had ever spake like this man. Let me remind you that on the cross, Luke chapter 23, verse 34, as Jesus was suspended between heaven and earth, as he looked down and saw those that had put him on that cross, oh, by the way, when he looked, he saw past those. He saw you and I as well. And here's what he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can I tell you, no man spake like this man. No man had ever spake like this man. What manner of man is this? I'll tell you what it is. He speaks truth. He speaks what his Father had sent him here to speak. Mark chapter 16, as he looked at his disciples, here's what he told them. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to Americans only. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel only to the North American continent. No, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, no man spake like this man. You know what kind of, you know what manner of man is this? This manner of man was is going to hold us accountable, folks, for what we do since he's been gone. He's going to hold us accountable to his word. You see, he went about doing good. No man ever spake like this man. Let me remind you that if you're astray from God and you're a prodigal from God this morning, let me remind you in John chapter 21 when he could have thrashed his disciples for going out and leaving and turning their back. You know what he did? Instead of doing that, he told them in John 21, come and dine. Come and dine. You know what those words? Those were words of restoration. You see, when Jesus spoke, people listened. Nobody spoke like he spoke. Nobody walked like he walked. The words of Jesus were so strong, they made an impact on the people he spoke them to. So when those officers went out there and they were given orders to bring Jesus back, they went out there and they began to listen to what he was speaking. They said, they came back and said, no man ever spake like this man. No man ever spake like this. Well, what manner of man is he? He went about doing good. He spoke truth. Let me give you another one. Turn to Mark chapter 2. Remember the man that was sick of the palsy? And you remember the crowd was so thick around the house they couldn't get in, so they went up on the roof? Remember they tore the roof off and then lowered the man with the palsy down on the roof? That's wanting to get somebody to Jesus pretty bad right there, folks. And in Mark chapter 2, Jesus healed this man. Verse 12. And immediately he, the man of the palsy, arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, here it is, we never saw it on this fashion. Wait a minute. We just heard just a moment ago, they said, never a man spake like this man. And now they're looking and said, listen, never. We've never saw it on this fashion. You see, his works were miraculous. His works were, listen, permanent. These people, this man of the palsy wasn't healed temporarily. He was healed permanently. Oh, listen, I'm going to step on somebody's toes, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. He was healed immediately. You say, what are you getting at, preacher? Well, there's some people kind of tromping around on the television station, on the radio. They call themselves prophets. They call themselves healers. Well, if they are, then why haven't I bumped into them at the hospital? If they've got the power of healing, I've never seen them at the hospital. I asked a guy one day like that. He told me, he said, well, I'm a prophet. I got the power of healing. I said, you have? I said, I've never seen you at the hospital before. And he said, well, no. And I said, well, why not? I said, I've done many funerals. I've never seen you at the funeral home. And listen, here's what was his answer. He said, oh, well, they don't have faith to be healed. Because if they had, listen, this guy was arrogant. Because if they were, they wouldn't be in the hospital. You see, when Jesus healed, it was permanent. It was immediate. Listen, his works were done in love. They were done to glorify God. His works were and did impact souls for eternity. You see, we never saw it, they said, on this fashion. We've never seen it like this before. Can I remind you, Nicodemus in John chapter 3 even admitted this. He said, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Nobody can do these miracles except God be with him. And when people saw the works of Jesus, they knew this was no ordinary man. He was divine. So I've said, what manner of man is this? He went about doing good. Never a man spake like this man. And we've never saw it on this fashion. Let me give you one more. Go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Let's go to the crucifixion. At the crucifixion, when Jesus gave up the ghost, some unusual things happened. Matthew 27. I'll tell you what, just go to verse number 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. That means they didn't just roll around, they burst. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, well, I'd say, you know, he gave up the ghost. He had already seen the sky turn black. He had already heard him utter all the sayings from the cross. He had heard him all do all of these things. And now God says, I'm going to send an earthquake, and graves were opened, and all of these things are happening. This centurion, listen now, this is a lost man. This is a man that doesn't even know God. And he looks around at everything that's happening, and those things which are done, they feared greatly. Listen, and saying, here it is, what manner of man is this? Truly, this was the Son of God. Truly, this was the Son of God. May I remind you, remember one of the disciples, Thomas, after the resurrection of Jesus, he missed church one Sunday? Guess who showed up? Jesus showed up at church and he missed it. Listen, that's the reason you don't need to miss church, because the Sunday that you miss will be exactly when God shows up with what you need. And so he didn't show up. And so Jesus came in their midst and Thomas showed up. They said, you're not going to believe this. The Lord showed up today. He said, I'll not believe it until I take my hand and feel the nail scars in his hands and thrust my hand into the scar in his side. I'll not believe it. Well, he decided he'd go to church next Sunday. So he shows up at church. Guess who shows up again? Jesus did. And in John chapter 20 and verse number 28, he told Thomas, he said, touch the nail scars. Touch the scar in my side. And when Thomas saw them and he touched them, he fell down. And this is what he said. What manner of man is this? Here's what he said. My Lord and my God. He said, man, you know what? I've seen a lot of things, but I've never seen anything like this. You see, the centurion knew his life, his words, his death. They knew what manner of man that Jesus was, because he saw it. He saw the graves open. He saw the earthquake. Listen, what more does Jesus need to prove, folks? He has fulfilled the will of the Father and became the sacrificial lamb to save the world from their sin. He spoke who he was. Others verified who he was. The Father ordained who he was. Listen. And then Jesus proved who he was. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He is the guide to the Christian. He is the source of our hope in this life. Listen. Some of you this morning say, what manner of man is this? I'll tell you who he is. He goes about doing good just like he did in that day. He's still doing good today. I'll tell you who he is. Never a man spake like this man. All you got to do is open your Bible up and start reading. Nobody ever spake like this man spake. You see, the Word of God's alive, and when I read it, it jumps off the page into my heart and does something in me to conform me to His image. You see, I'll tell you who He is. He healed that man of the palsy, and they said, we've never seen it on this fashion. God ever done something that you say, only God, only God? And then lastly, the centurion said, truly, this was the Son of God. Let's go back to our boat for a second. Jesus said, let's get in and go where? To the other side. Did he have ever intentions of making it to the other side? That's why he went back and took a nap. Can I say something to you folks? In life's journey, the Lord's not left you. He's not going to leave you. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. And yeah, the storm, the winds are going to kick up. Yeah, the boat's going to take on a little water. But let me tell you something. If the Lord's in the boat with you, you have nothing to fear. So the question was, what manner of man is this? I'll tell you what manner of man he is. He's the same God of yesterday, today, and forever. And he wants to operate in your life. Can I say this morning, don't resist him. Don't resist. Those disciples wanted that sea to stop, right? They wanted that water to stop coming in the boat. Hey, you want to... In your life, do you want water to stop coming in your life? Do you want to stop the sinking process? All you have to do is don't resist. What if Jesus would have stood up and said, winds, hold, stop right there. We're not sure we want this after all. No, they wanted it. And he did it. And they said, oh, what manner of man is this? He wants to save you this morning. He wants to change you this morning. Listen, somebody he's calling. This morning. Would you bow your heads for a second? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who can say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. I'm saved.